Welcome to the round 13 Supercoach Coach Podcast. Boy, this season is starting to really whip by now after a pause in the middle. And I'm joined by two returning guests. We haven't unfortunately had them on with some of the scheduling constraints we've had recently, but happy to have them on back now. Welcome back, Dunny.
G'day, Marcus. Great to be back. Yeah, it's nice to have a little break so I can actually get on the show.
Yeah, and Bryce.
Hi, no footy tonight, but there is a podcast, so footy lives on.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you both. We've been recording during the day, which has made it hard to catch all three of us together. And so I know the listeners must be interested to hear how you've been doing across the last few weeks and managing the buys yourselves. So why don't you start off with just giving a bit of an update on how you've been going. Dunny, you want to start?
Yeah, I can do that. So my team has started to take a little bit better shape. I think last time I was on, it was pretty ordinary. In fact, I can guarantee that. I've jumped about, to tell you how low I was, I've jumped about 10 to 15,000 spots since then. I'm still not doing particularly as well as I'd like, but definitely getting better. So I brought in some really good players lately. I finally got on the Lachie Neal train a few weeks ago and loving it. And also Clayton Oliver came into my side. So that's really helping my lift up the rankings. But wasted a lot of trades in the ruck this year with the whole Naismith to and I had Tim English in there for a couple of weeks. But I've got Goldie now. But, yeah, not having Max Gawn has hurt me a little bit. But I scored a very respectable 2304 this week, so I was happy with that until I saw I was playing Marcus and Faz in two different leagues and they both beat me. So but anyway, look, it's getting better. So team's going well. Only got about three spots on field that I need to upgrade now, so looking positive for the last few rounds, Marcus.
Nice one, Dunny. And that's the main thing, really. It's forward momentum. That's the path.
Yeah, don't look back.
Yeah, that's it. You know, just think, wouldn't it be a hilarious run-up if we beat Mark off this?
Oh, you know, that's the- that is the aim, but I think you're a lot closer to doing that than I am.
Bryce, how about you, mate? How have you been going over the last few weeks?
Yeah, not too bad. I guess it's gone pretty quickly the last five or so weeks since I've been on last, but went out to about 13K through various reasons, I guess largely around the Pitney fall from grace and then just trying to ride that up to Gawn, and brought Gawn in at the worst time at his peak price because I just couldn't handle Pitney anymore. Rode his two low scores and then he got injured. So if anyone's looking for blame, then look this way. So that kind of derailed things for a few weeks, but I've managed to claw my way back into the top 10K. I rode a few injuries like Fife and Doudé. Had a reasonable week. Traded Doudé out and brought in Zach Williams, so that was pretty positive. Had a reasonable amount of Primo's Fire for this week. So I had Neil as my vice-captain. I had Lloyd, Goldie, Bailey, Smith and Grundy, who all scored well. Had a few poor scores, so I didn't expect to do that well this week. So I had Ridley 70 and Viney 69, and had some poor rookie scores on field and Sicily's injury. Despite that, I rose from just outside 10K up to 7,500. So that was a pretty good jump, and hopefully I can repeat a little bit more of that, especially over this buy period, which I'm really looking forward to, as sick as it sounds. An opportunity to further project into the higher ranks. So Marcus, why don't you put us out of our misery and tell us how you went this week?
Yeah, thanks, mate. I did score very well, but I'm still behind you, Bryce. So hot on your tail now. I scored 24.59 and was actually on track for a potentially even bigger one before things sort of imploded at the end there, but still happy with that finishing score. Pushed me up 10th consecutive week of rank improvements now. I was at 60K, so quite far back, close to the midway mark, but I'm at 10,115th now, and I'm very much hoping to join you in that club in the top 10K. Bryce, so yeah, it's been a good week for me, and I think I've been mentioning that my team's actually okay, and it felt like I was lying because for the first 8 weeks I was doing terribly. So I'm glad that it's starting to fire. I know that there's a lot of injuries this week, which actually potentially helps me out a little bit because my team is only one off being a full premium team at the moment. So if everybody's struggling to complete, it probably helps me. Happy days for now. In terms of a quick league update, I might just jump to our Supercoach Coach patrons to give a update there. We give an overall prize to the leader of that group by the end of the year, and that's still Jack's team who's leading that. But he's dropped down to 142nd, so it really opens up the first place contention now. Tommy's team, Blackpiled, is sitting at 214th. Seb's Geordie Demolition at 222nd. John's Dusty's Chopstick at 293rd. And a longtime member of our Supercoach community, Nick's team, Sky Valley, 439. So five there contending in the top 500, all in and around the mark for that cash prize. So we'll keep keen interest on that as we round out into the last rounds of the season. All right, this week in terms of topics, the main conversation points are actually going to be the guys who unfortunately got injured over the last week. That's certainly causing some pain. But before we get into that, I did want to get a bit of your strategic sort of thoughts around what the new buy is coming up means. Wary that round 14 is and round 16, you know, actually probably pretty good for most teams. Like they'll probably be able to field more than 18 premiums. Round 15 is obviously the big challenge with a lot more teams missing in that week. But I was wondering whether that changes your perspective, fellas, on trading in premiums, right? Like, are we actually incentivized to not complete our teams or try to complete our teams this week because we're going to be hitting best 18 over the next few anyway? Is it really more about making sure we have the Lloyd types, the Grundy types, the Neil types, McRae even, to make sure that, you know, of the best 18, we're getting some of those punchy scores? Any thoughts around upgrading and what the buys might mean? I might throw to you first, Bryce.
Yeah, I guess the first consideration around the buy strategy has just been to look at the round 15 one, which is the tougher one where most teams are struggling as far as having availability of primos. So a lot of my strategy is around not bringing in any extra round 15 buy players because it's only a couple of weeks away and trying to target the buy-free players still. And I can probably actually afford to bring in some of the round 14 and round 16 players because there's not too many teams on that buy. There's only two for each one. So my early considerations has been around that and just considering options, which there are plenty of outside that round 15.
But you're still moving toward a best 22 then, Bryce? Like you haven't changed your strategy because we're hitting this best 18 period?
Yeah, that's, I guess, something I've been back and forth on a little bit. We've got a few days to consider what might be the better approach, whether to go and try and get value and finish best 22 or try and go after the big guns, even though it might put us back more trades. I'm also a little bit wary about using too many trades in this period coming up because we've still got, how many rounds is it, two or three? After the best 18 rounds to finish the season. And I think that's the period where we're really going to make a charge up the rankings because teams will run out of trades and won't be full primo or both. So that's where I'm targeting a little bit to try and make some big leaps at the end, but haven't really settled on a kind of get 22, make sure I'm completed, or targeting kind of the big guns and maybe one or two players short. Yeah, I'll be working through that through this week. What about you, Danny?
Yeah, I tend to agree with a lot of that. I think what I'll be looking at is a bit of what Marcus was saying there, and not. I guess an example would be obviously a lot of people have got Sicily this week. They can either, if they've got a bit of cash in the bank, have to trade out Sicily. You can either go for sort of two sort of medium price guys who are going to get you through that period, and they're both, you know, they might have both already had their buy, or you can go for one big dog, you know, go for the best in the position. So like a Luke Ryan or a Jake Lloyd, and then not have quite as much cash for the other upgrade. And you can probably put off that second upgrade for another week, knowing that you've only got best 18s coming up in the subsequent rounds, and you can take your time to get that player. And I think what you're referring to, Marcus, was, you know, maybe putting off that second upgrade this week to do it after someone else has had their buy and sort of waiting on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's certainly a valid option to take. So my plan this week is to go from Sicily to Jake Lloyd. I do have plenty of cash in the bank at the minute, so I can do another good upgrade. But if that meant my second upgrade was probably not there, I'd then look at maybe doing a downgrade, bring in some cash ready for that next week to start pouncing on guys who've had their buys.
I think something I'd like to add to that is just to, because I've been really focused around that round 15 buy and trying to make as much ground as possible there. So one thing I'm considering is you could get an expensive primo there, but then be short of another upgrade that you might have for that round. So it might be the difference between 14 and 15 primos in that round. So at the moment I have, I've counted out before I trade Sicily, I've got 13 primos available. What I'm trying to do is aim to get as many primos in for that round, because that's the round where I think I can make the most ground, because others will have primos not available. And two value primos in that round might actually be scoring better than a rookie and a full-blown primo. So that's a concept that I'm playing around with, is all around that round 15 buy, because I reckon that's the most important one.
Yeah, exactly. And as you mentioned earlier, I think, Bryce, you know, you probably don't need to focus. You can afford to bring in guys on that round 14 and 16 buy, because you've probably only got, say, two or three players already on there. I've had a look at mine. I think I've got three players for each one, and only two of them are premiums. So you don't need to be scared of that, those two particular buys, given there's only two teams on it.
Yeah, no, I mean, you brought a really interesting point there, Bryce, in terms of having a player like Jake Lloyd would obviously help a lot in exceeding the minimum score. But if you combine it with the rookie score, what's the offset in round 15 if you are not going to have enough players, especially? And that's probably the more pertinent concern. Yeah. So it's going to look slightly different for everyone. So that's a very good point. I would still suggest leaning more towards, I would lean more towards sort of Dunny's camp ultimately, where I'd still probably try and find a Lloyd type, just because I think that the points gained in round 14 and 16 are going to be so negligible if you don't hit a top line player. Like if most people are already going to field 22, you know, in that round, how many points are you really getting by bringing on, you know, a Shannon Hearn or a guy who can average 95, let's say. If you're best 18, you'd hopefully be scoring 80 pluses anyway if you're close to a full premium team and you're not really missing anyone in those two buys. You know, so it very quickly becomes diminishing returns, like trying to push extra premiums on field on for 14 and 16. And I really wonder, like, how much can you claw back in a single round in 15 to make it worthwhile? But I may be underrating the carnage that's about to happen.
Say that, Marcus.
Well, I mean, it's a good point. How much are you guys planning for carnage, right? Like, we've seen some extreme restings compared to previous seasons already.
Yeah.
But it hasn't affected the premiums as much. It's affected the rookies potentially a little bit more. Do you see that changing moving forward? Is that influencing how you're planning for this next buy round?
Not really. I think I'm still powering on trying to get my full premium side. But I've got at the start of this round, I've got 10 trades remaining. And I'm probably going to need to use at least six of those on upgrades, et cetera, or probably even seven. But, yeah, I think it's as it always is towards the end of the year, we sort of try and hold a couple of trades for the finals. You know, usually sort of three we like to have to get through the finals, but this year we may not have quite as many available to us. And that's crazy after we've been given extra, like seven extra trades for the season and we're still struggling and there's less weeks. I don't know how this happens.
Well, Daddy, all I can say is hearing that you have 10 trades is making me very jealous. I think you've got a comeback brewing.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for, mate.
All right. Any final thoughts on that, Bryce? Otherwise, I'll jump into some questions on players.
Ooh, let's do it.
All right, awesome. First one from Dan Whitty, and it's asking about trading Sicily out. So he's named a few options here, and he mentioned it might be team-specific, but I think it's actually pretty broad, so it's a good one to start with. So Dan's throwing up, you know, Sicily to Lloyd and a downgrade, Sicily to Haynes and be able to pick up Parrish with his other trade or a similar type player, or taking value with Sicily and going for a Thurlow type and taking a Fife in the midfield instead. This is super pertinent this week, and it takes me a bit to, you know, the previous question about, you know, how much do you want to upgrade when if you're side-swapping one premium this week and you didn't have cash in bank last week, so I'm in that situation, I was going to trade Rankin and Cameron out for a real premium and finish my team. Now I've got to trade Sicily out. If I trade Sicily out and Rankin, I'm not going to have enough for two true premiums. So I've got to ask myself, do I just focus on getting the best replacement for Sicily, or am I trying to have this hybrid position where I get a half good position in one and a great position in the other? And I think a lot of people would actually be going through a fairly similar thing where we're all trying to actually finish our teams, but the side swap is going to actually sort of throw up an interesting question where you can do sort of a half upgrade in the side swap. So yeah, I thought it was a pretty interesting one to start off with. Bryce, are you in this situation?
Yeah, I mean, exactly the situation, and I've got a couple of options to consider. So I've got the Sicily injury, and then I've was planning to trade out Arts and someone else, but I also had an option to trade out Sarong. So I can trade out Sarong and Sicily and get two almost premiums, or trade Sicily and Arts and go up to someone top line and then just bring in a rookie and then look to continue upgrading. And I haven't quite settled on an option yet, and I guess it depends on what options we have available and in what positions. And there's a few good options that have been thrown up there that I'm also considering. I know that Haynes has got a price drop ahead of him, so I've got two spots in defence and planning to pick him up in the second place. But looking at a Luke Ryan type who looks to be a true premium based on his last five or six games, and then maybe just picking up a good rookie, which we might talk about later, but there's a good mid-forward option that I like the look of. So that kind of is helping my decision-making process to go a top liner and then bring in a rookie and then just continue along that path. Some of the compromised options I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable about, and given our previous comments about strategy and targeting top liners, I'm not sure I'm keen on some of those. But yeah, maybe we can talk about some of the better ones if you like. But generally, what are you thinking, Danny?
So I'm in a little bit different situation to you guys, whereas I've actually got about 300 grand in the bank to spend this week.
Good time to have it.
It is. So my current plan is to go Sicily to Lloyd and Sarong to Fife and do that double upgrade. But I
lock it in. So good. Yeah. Okay.
So
done for the week.
but look, I think, you know, what you've been saying there is, you know, there's certainly a lot of merit into what you were, you know, if you don't have that cash, I think I'd probably be in the same boat that you were talking about there, Bryce, and that's perhaps not going for the half-baked premium for that second trade and actually waiting and getting the full premium, because you'll only live to regret it in the coming weeks. You'll see it and you go, oh, why didn't I get that guy? Why did I pick up this bloke? And it's wasted another trade. Another thing I was looking at earlier on this trade is I was looking at Lloyd and I was looking at Luke Ryan as well. And I think off the top of my head, you know, Lloyd's somewhere around about the 30% ownership and Ryan is about 3% ownership. So it's another opportunity for someone, if they really want that point of difference, to go for Ryan and pick up ground, you know, when he has those big scores. But obviously there's the old FOMO of when Lloyd goes big, you could have had him. So there's lots of different ways you can go. And as, you know, as Dan said, you know, he's got plenty of options there. But I think you've got to look for those big upgrades and not take that half premium option and live to regret it in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I mean, even looking at the Haynes Parrish, you know, scenario, Parrish scored 100 on the weekend, and Haynes had a bit of a quieter one,
70 something, I think, or
70? Yeah, 67.
Yeah,
right. So if you imagine that in a best 18, you've probably taken like a 60 or a 70 to 100, but you know, Haynes's score is essentially nuffed for a best 18 round. So, you know, looking at it in isolation, like if you could have Lloyd's 137 and a rookie scoring 30, that's actually better than Parrish scoring 100 and Haynes scoring 67 in a best 18 round. So that's just an example. But you need to be very confident in Lloyd, right? Like
exactly.
The next question in relation to Sicily is, I guess, what happens if you have Sicily and like a backline upgrade? So I think the midfield options are a little bit more obvious, but those that are looking at two backline upgrades this week and both buy free might be struggling with choice a little bit. Wondering if, Bryce, you might be able to help with that.
Yeah, I've been looking at a couple of options in the back line because I couldn't quite get to some of the mid-premiums I was after, and a lot of the forward options haven't had their buy yet. So I've been looking to double up in the back line and swing a hill back to my forward line. And there seems to be enough there to get two reasonable options. So I've got about 100K in bank. I've got Sicily and Arts or Sarong to move on. So some of the combinations that I've – options that I've been looking at, a Haynes-Thurlow combination, a Luke Ryan and Tom Stewart. Even though Tom Stewart has that buy, I think he's still well priced for those that don't have him. I've looked at a Haynes-Parker combination, so that's a mid-defence. But as far as the options back there, it's probably a couple that you could put together that are under 500K that are probably pretty reasonable. And any in particular that stand out to you boys?
I think Williams from last week still sort of my go-to, and his 111 certainly inspired a bit of confidence. How about you, Donny?
Yeah, I think another guy that we've been all over in the past and he let us down last year was Witherden. He's come back with an absolute bang in the last, since he's been made his way back into the side in the last 3 or 4 weeks. So he's been outstanding. The other one I like is always Caleb Daniel as well. I think – they're always talking about how efficient he is, and he's one of the best users of the footy out of the back line. So you can't go too wrong with him. But I think if I had those choices, I'd probably be looking at probably a Williams as my first choice. And so I don't mind the idea of Witherden. Both buy free as well, which helps. Witherden's got one to come. Apologies.
He's got one to come, yeah.
But he's got the good buy.
He's got a good buy, exactly. Yeah.
Not many Adelaide Brisbane primos in teams beyond Neil. Yeah,
you've probably got Neil and Laird, and that's about it, really. Or maybe Brody Smith.
Sorry, I think we were cutting you off there, Bryce.
No, I was just going to mention a couple of other options that I'd been looking at, I guess the sub 500K mark. So Callum Mills is 492. Rampy's just gone out, so whether that helps or hinders his scoring, I'm not sure, but he's had a pretty good year, so he's probably going to score about price that he's at. He's had a couple of big scores as well, so he's a potential option. He's buy free. Adam Sard is another one at 477. Don't mind that. He's buy free as well. And if you want to get really risque, I've been looking at Jackson Thurlow, a name from the past. Priced at 359K. Come back into the team mid-season. He's played two games, and his scores were...
He did 118.
118 and 90.
Yeah, he's been good.
Yeah.
So whether he keeps that scoring up, he seemed to have some good potential when he was at Geelong, and maybe he's showing that potential now he's at Sydney. His job security seems to be reasonable. So it could be a good way to save a bit of coin and spend some money elsewhere. But, yeah, he's one I'm strongly considering, and the fact that he's already had his buy is even more appealing.
Yeah, in terms of the shape of the selection, I certainly like it just because it unlocks a lot of money for your other defensive upgrade. Like if you brought in Thurlow, you could probably do Lloyd, whereas if you wanted Mills, you'd probably only be able to manage Williams. Ultimately, I'd start with Williams and then figure out who else you can get in, which might allow you a little bit more than Thurlow. So if you're talking $1 million, maybe even Williams, Haynes. I'd have Witherden ahead of Daniels just on buys. I'd really try not to go Daniels. If I was picking a play with a buy, I think it's Stewart. Stewart's the good call there in terms of price point. Sard, I think, is really interesting and good one you bring up, Bryce. He's super underrated when you look at how consistent he's been this year. He's had one score under 80. The rest are all actually 80+. So he's been actually fairly reliable, but because he doesn't have the big scores, I don't think if you miss him, he obviously won't burn you, but it also means that his price tag's pretty good at 470. I mean, Thurlow's an interesting one though. one of the questions I have for somebody considering him, Bryce, is do you see him as a potential keeper all the way to the end? Or are you thinking, you know, I'll get him through the buys almost as a step ladder and then maybe still move him? Or do we not have the trade to be discussing that sort of stuff anymore?
I'm counting my trades. I've got about 9 left and I've got 3 spots to upgrade. So if I'm bringing him in, I'm being prepared to actually keep him to the end. If I somehow manage to have a luxury trade towards the end and his scoring drops off and he's made a little bit of cash, maybe I, at that point, upgrade him to someone else. But I think if you're getting him at this point, you're probably keeping him based on the amount of trades that we have left.
Thurlow will be less likely to get defensive responsibilities than Mills types, etc. Thurlow is probably known as a distributor and a decent mark more than sort of a tight defender. So, you know, from a distribution point of view and the role point of view, I would assume it's fairly attractive. And with a lot of injuries and stuff in Sydney, you think, you know, there's opportunities, job security, blah, blah, blah. Just probably a couple of things to note is one, injury history. It is quite poor. Like, he's that injury prone that, like, you'd have to consider him a reasonable chance to be injured for the run home. And then probably the second part is also he's shown the potential of upside, but he also plays a role that is prone to inconsistency, and he's never hit the level where Thurlow's been a consistent enough contributor to an AFL club, let alone a consistent sort of Supercoach scorer. The upside is, I mean, you only need him for another 5-6 weeks, and he's a heck of a lot older and more mature than when he was getting games as a kid. So his past doesn't have to be a reflection of what he's capable of today. I don't know if that's particularly helpful, but that's the sort of things I'm thinking through with Thurlow. I haven't ruled him in or out. But yeah, certainly presents like a decent level of risk, but good upside too.
But do we know actually where he's been most of the season? Has he been injured or not making the side? I assume it's been injury.
Yeah, slow ramp up, and then I don't think the practice match sort of situation helped him, because assuming his sort of age and all that sort of stuff compared to some of the other kids that they've already blooded, I would have thought he would have been first up to get some games earlier. So yeah, certainly the lack of ability to train together and all that was not in his favour for an injury prone player. But now that he's back in, you'd assume that's a lot better.
I don't know. Looking into it a little bit more, I'm not too sure. Is that a good age? A profile? He's 26 years old. He was around one pick 16 in 2012. So I guess he's got the.
He's not going to average premium numbers, right? Mm. Like, if you're getting him, it's probably like 90, I think, would be what you're hoping for. And at his price point, I think that's actually probably okay. You know what I mean? If you assume you can't get to full premium anyway, blah, blah, blah. If you can, then obviously, and you don't have the trades to then side swap him out, maybe you wouldn't consider him. But if you're in the situation where you're like, well, I can pick one guy under 400K to be a keeper for the rest of the year, do I want that punt to be Jackson Thurlow? It's not the worst punt in the world, but it's definitely a punt, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah. but I don't think he's a bad pick, if that makes sense. Anyway, we'll move off Thurlow now and on to Yeo. Now, people who have Sicily and Yeo both out potentially, news is that Yeo is out with, was out with a groin. So it is something to consider. Groins tend to linger. They tend to affect output for the remainder of the season. There's a chance that you might want to trade him out anyway. We have Jeff Lane, one of our Patreons, having both of them. The good thing, though, is, you know, if you've got two premium trade outs, I mean, it sucks that you can't keep up your upgrade cadence, but you at least get to trade both of them out for pretty close to true premium. So that's quite good. But we had a few people asking about who a good Yeo replacement would actually be. And one of the questions is from @JulianAnise on Twitter, and he's throwing up both Fife and Parker. And that came up from a few other people. So I thought I might throw the two of them into the mix. Nathan Fife or Luke Parker? What do you reckon, Dunny?
I'm probably in the Fife camp on that one. I think his ceiling is a lot higher, and he's probably a lot more consistent with those big scores. Having said that, I also don't mind Luke Parker. He knows how to find the footy, particularly with JPK out at the moment. He's able to get a lot of that midfield time. But I think you just have to go Fife just for the fact that he can, you know, he could pull out a 150 or a 160 each week, whereas I could see Parker being more around sort of the 120 to 130 sort of range for his big scores. Both of them are excellent selections, though. Both of them buy free, so they're certainly good options to look at. Another one there that Jeff mentioned was Josh Kelly, another one who's buy free as well. Certainly another really good option to look at. But for me, it's Nat Fyfe all the way, because I think he's heavily owned. He'll be brought into a lot of teams. And if he has one of those 160s, 170s, then you're going to be stuck behind the rest of the pack. Bryce, who would you take out of that lot?
Fyfe is 580. Parker's about 530. So it's a bit of a price difference, but you'd expect a better average from Fyfe going forward. There's a little bit of injury risk with him. He's already gone down with a couple of hamstrings this year. There's a condensed fixture coming up. I think that if you're purchasing Fyfe, you've probably got to be prepared for a possibility that he gets injured in the last six games or plays up forward a bit, so his scoring might be a little bit up and down. I think with Luke Parker, what you're getting is consistent scoring, but probably doesn't have the ceiling that Fyfe has. If you've got some other injury risk in your team and you don't want to introduce further injury risk into your team, then Luke Parker might actually be a pretty solid option. He's one that I'm considering. I already have Fyfe in my team. The other player that I'm thinking of bringing in is Stephen Coniglio. So priced a little bit more, 20K more at 551, has been pretty reasonable with the scoring, averaging 104 for the season. GWS actually have a pretty good finishing fixture, and he's been pretty good as far as injuries this year. So after he plays West Coast, he has Fremantle, Carlton, Adelaide, Melbourne, and St Kilda. So I like that fixture. I think that GWS need to keep winning, so I think that he's going to stay in the guts and no resting up forward. So I like him and his potential upside as an alternate to Parker. Marcus, you considering any of these guys for your midfield?
Certainly Fyfe is probably the most tempting. I think the question is basically, do you want to run with the risk? If Fyfe is injury-free, you're going to be laughing. If he gets hit by an injury, which, like, I don't know, is probably like as good as 50-50. I don't know. That's sort of what I'm tossing up, at least. Like, you know, you just got to be prepared for that. And if you're willing to run that risk, then it's Fyfe all the way. Otherwise, I actually like your suggestion there of Coniglio and you know, Dunny bringing up Kelly as well. GWS, the draw is just much, much more preferable. You've really got to look at Sydney and wonder, like, is there some serious risk that the scoring is going to be deflated across the board when they play against three of the top four teams at the moment in Port, Brisbane, and Geelong on the run home? Having said that, Luke Parker's only had two scores under 100 this year. Mm. So, you know, he's certainly been very consistent, more consistent than Parker normally is, actually. He, if anything, he's typically the spiky one.
Yeah, normally it's JPK who's the consistent one, and Parker has the spikes. But JPK is out for at least another couple of weeks, I believe. So should get a little bit out of him there.
And I mean, even when JPK was in the side, Luke Parker's centre bounce attendances were right up. Hasn't really dropped off most of the season. So he's their go-to guy. And if JPK did come back, I don't know whether that's going to affect it too much.
It won't be a big impact, no.
Well, I've got two more questions, but looking at the time, we're going to try and run these a bit more rapid fire. So Angus Brayshaw, yay or nay, and I guess sort of key risk or key benefit. What do you reckon, Bryce?
All right, so this is one I've been looking at. The price point is delicious. But I also have Viney and Petrarca, and I'm sure others have Oliver. So a little bit cold on him, but just being I'm a numbers person, so I looked at his numbers. So his last kind of 3 weeks, his time on ground has been really up. When he was having some of the poor scores earlier in the season, his time on ground was down towards the 72%, but the last 3 weeks he's had 75, 80, 81, maybe partially because Viney's been out of the side for a week, but his centre bounce attendance has also been up 68, 95, 73%. The 95 was when Viney was out of the side. His Supercoach scores the last three have been 91, 113 and 131. So what does it mean when Viney comes back into the side? Well, Viney came back into the side the last game and went down to 73% centre bounce attendances. In round 12, he took Sparrow's centre bounce attendances. So they had him in centre bounces for 40%, and that actually went down to 23% in round 12. So going forward, can you guess who's going to take the centre bounces? I'm not sure, but at 417K, it looks pretty good if you're not a Viney owner, but I don't think that I could go there if I had both.
Yeah, I really would struggle with just the consistency. Yeah, he's got like 40s in there. I would be so distraught if my bringer was scoring 40s. I mean,
isn't it amazing when you play an inside midfielder as an inside midfielder what they can actually do? Put him out on the wing. Why not? Yeah. Now, I agree with everything you said there, Bryce. Exactly the same thoughts that I've had.
All right. Why don't we finish with the rookies then? And maybe I might throw to you first against Bryce, because you mentioned a mid forward who's a bit tempting. And honestly, looking at the options, he's probably one of the top ones, and there's not necessarily eight more. We're struggling for rookies this week.
Yeah, so who's Zach Foote from Sydney? He's a forward mid, 124K, so standard rookie price. Scored 61 on the weekend. I know that one of the podcast boys went early on him, and he was pretty happy. I think he's the only one that I'd really consider this week, unless there was a defensive option that popped up on debut. The reason I like Zach Foote is for that DPP, so you can swing him around during the buys, during the last period of the season. I think that his job security is probably pretty reasonable. We have the other bloke from Sydney, Taylor, I think it is, who's out for the season with a COVID breach, so that probably improves his job security. Swans are probably going to play the kids. I didn't do the eye test on him, so maybe you guys can comment on that, but if I go the one up, one down, then he's I'm definitely very keen on him.
I watched the game and I thought he was I thought he looked okay. I was also seeing those messages from the other podcast member of the Supercoach Coach team who had him, and they were very excited. But, yeah, look, I thought he moved well. I thought he found the footy well. He used it really well. So he looks the goods. And as you said, Sydney are playing the kids. We've just seen the article today that they've ruled a few more players out for the season. So Longmire is forced to play the kids now, unlike what he normally does. And I did hear earlier today, I was telling Marcus before the show that It sounds like Will Gould actually has had his name thrown about the place in a press conference today. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It would have been nice if he held over for next season, but it might be bring that defensive rookie that we need. I think a lot of coaches will be asking for Ling to come back. You're right, Marcus.
How many Sydney rookies can we put on our benches? Seriously.
Hey, why not? We've got – how many spots have we got? We've got 8 spots on the bench. Let's fill them up.
I think I've got at least half already.
It's certainly challenging trying to pick a rookie of long-term job security at this stage of the year, and certainly Sydney with all those outs seem as good a place as any to go there. I'd say maybe as some more teams rule themselves out of contention and start trying to trial some players, maybe the last few rounds we might see a few more. So if you see an interesting debutant this weekend, you know, like you said, Will Gould, I think he's one that on debut you might almost people have been asking.
Go early.
He was an inside bull as a young kid, and AFL ready body if he comes into it. All right, well, that's it for this week. Bryce, I might throw to you if you have any final thoughts for our listeners.
I do have one thought, and that's around, trade strategy from here. We've been, max trading and loving it for the last, 12 rounds. But it's now time to, reflect on where your team's at as far as the amount of upgrades you've got to do, how many trades you have left, and when you're actually going to run out of trades. So I think that most people have max traded. And if you're at the point now where you have 8 trades, there's 6 rounds to go. In a normal season, that's actually a little bit of warning signs that we might need to slow down, especially if we have 3 places on the field to upgrade. So I guess now is a good kind of status check for your team to work out whether you're going to upgrade all of your rookies, whether you're going to just hold one through to the end of the season, and consider whether you can actually afford to trade on people like Viney or other less than ideal D6s and M8s, because you might actually run out of trades and end up with donuts towards the end of the season. So that's, I think, after this kind of period happened, it really hit home to me that, we need to really think about our trades like it's a normal Supercoach season, which it hasn't been at all. So that's my final thoughts to share with everyone.
That's very good advice there, Bryce. And I think hopefully a little bit more unique in the sense that, you know, if not everyone's thinking about how to optimize their trades, you know, and also keep a bit of security up their sleeves, and because they've been so focused on just turbo upgrading this whole season, continue to run bare, and then you start seeing some carnage hit late in the season because of condensed fixtures or whatever, it's certainly good to consider everything sort of together once we're heading into this final stretch, and especially because the fixture's all announced now. Great point. Donny, how about you, mate? Any final thoughts or anything to share with the listeners?
Yeah, probably a similar trading strategy one as well, and that is I found over that compressed period that some weeks where I thought, all right, I'm only going to make one or two trades early on and hold that last one, that's probably why I've got a couple of extra trades at the minute, because I sort of got two-thirds of the way through the round. I thought, oh, I can't do anything here because these guys are locked out. Can't bring that player in. Well, I'm kind of stuck, and I didn't end up using one trade in two different weeks. But there were other weeks where I actually went early and made all three trades before the first game of the round to get the player that I wanted to get to. So I guess what I want to impart on the listeners is don't be afraid to use all of those trades early on to get the guys that you want to get. If it turns, you know, if you've got cover in your positions, then go for it, because otherwise you'll get halfway through, you'll miss the opportunity, and guys will be locked out. Someone won't get selected, and you can't do what you wanted to do. So I think it's if you're not in the very pointy end of the competition, throw a bit of caution to the wind, get the players you want, and go for it.
Yeah, nice one, Donny. It's certainly something that I felt myself slip into at some stages. You know, you're just trying to stay open. And then I got to the end of the round and went like, well, was that the right choice?
Yeah.
Or did I take the open choice? Awesome to have you both on. A bit of extra length for our listeners, but I'm sure they're happy to hear both your voices. So thank you again for making the time, and look forward to more chats. Hopefully we won't have to wait all the way until post the next condensed fixture to have you guys back on. We'll catch you all next week. See ya.
See
you,
everyone.
Is there footy on tonight or tomorrow? What's going on? Don't want this, get crazy. Don't want this, get crazy.